chained, and it will produce a harvest of spiritual fruit to the glory of God. Brothers and sisters, this is what God wants from our lives. He wants to produce his fruit in the heart of all of the redeemed. Now, I can almost hear somebody thinking right now, well, Reverend, what kind of fruit does God want? What do you mean by producing fruit in my heart? Well, he has a little brief description of the kind of fruit that he will produce within us when we are the right kind of soil sown with the right kind of seed. Now, the first kind of fruit is sanctification, and that is to be set apart for his use as we become more like him. Paul told the Romans in Romans 6:22, but now having been set free from the power of sin and become slaves of God, you have the fruit to holiness, and at the end, eternal life. In other words, my brothers and sisters, every person has a master. It's either God or sin. Although a Christian is not someone who cannot sin, but someone who is no longer a slave to sin, because he or she belongs to God. Secondly, is the fruit of spirituality, and that is we behave more and more like him because we begin to produce within us the fruit of the Spirit. For the Bible tells us again in Galatians 5:22-23 that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. In other words, the Spirit produces these characters, traits in us that are found in the nature of Christ. Then finally, it produces the fruit of faith, so that we'll be able to depend on the Lord. But the Bible tells us that, yes, Proverbs 3:6, in all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Then we read in 1 Peter 5:7, it tells us, cast all your cares upon him. Put all your worries upon God. Why? Because he cares for you. And so the potential of the seed, if sown in the right type of soil, is to produce a great harvest. And in the same way, the potential of the word of God, I'm talking about the gospel, if sown into the heart of man, is to reap a spiritual harvest to the glory of God, a spiritual life that produces spiritual fruit. But finally, see, I'm not going to be long. Let's go home early. Finally, there's the problem of the soils. Now, as the sower sowed the seed, the text says that it fell upon four distinct kinds of soils. Now, we should mention that each of the soils were good soil, but the condition that the soil was in when the seed landed upon it, it determined its potential for producing a suitable harvest. Now, remember, we are comparing these soils to the types of human hearts. In other words, what I'm saying is that there is no heart too bad that it can't receive the gospel message. And so what makes the heart unable to receive the seed is, amen, it is the condition it's in when the gospel comes to it.
It is our hope that you were blessed by Pastor's message. Join us at our regular service weekly at 808 Anacoco Street, Leesville, Louisiana, or phone us at 337-238-4954. May God bless and keep you until we meet again.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1.
Put your hand.
Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
All right. It's gonna be all right. It's really
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to God. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you once again for the privilege to study your word. We thank you for every person who's made the sacrifice to be here tonight. God, meet them where they are. Lift them to the place you'd have them to be. And oh God, we thank you for this word that you will unfold by your Spirit. Give us insight, revelation, understanding. And then more especially, give us power to practice these principles so we might receive the profit. But more than all the profit we receive, give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise for just being God. You may be seated in his presence. We are dealing with one of the areas that the enemy loves to attack, loves to live in, loves to mess with, loves to deal with, and that is the mind. The mind. It's so important to understand the issues of the mind, because that's the playground of the enemy and ideology and the platform for all of the things that you will do, both in the spirit realm and in the natural realm. And so it's important to watch again and protect the whole platform of your thinking processes. That's one of the reasons why Romans 12 and verse 1 makes clear something very important before it goes into telling us about renewing our mind. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And the first word in verse 2 says, and, which is a conjunction, which is a continuation of verse 1. Now what it's saying is, in verse 1, when he says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, and that's important to recognize again, we've dealt with this particular verse before, the mercies of God covers every area of our lives, our situations, circumstances beyond what we deserve. So time and time again, God has forgiven us. God has looked over our faults. God has removed them from us, et cetera, et cetera. He's done that many times. How many times has he done it for the same sin? Okay, so I just want to make sure y'all were with me. Y'all were listening. All right, because the mercies of God are for the multiple and of areas in our lives. It's not just salvation. Salvation is saving grace, but beyond once he saves you, he's got to keep you saved. And so now that's a sustaining grace, but it's also connected with his mercy. It's because he chooses not to get rid of us because of what we say and do, that he keeps making a way for us. And so because the Bible says in Psalm 30 that in his favor is life. I mean, he favors life. If he had not, he could let the law do its job, not make a way for us to get past the law. And once you broke the law, you'd be dead. So God put favor and mercy and grace together to be able to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. Having said all of that, he says, by the mercies of God, look at what he says again. He said that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. Now, when it says conformed in this context, it's talking about having a final and complete end in itself. So that means when you're talking about being conformed to this world, it means you have bought into the world's ideologies. You've bought into the world's practices. You've bought into the world's operation. You've bought into the world's mindset, and it is fixed and final. And so when that happens in the first chapter of Romans, around that 21st verse, God says, I'll then turn you over to a reprobate mind. I'll leave you to your own destruction. If you won't hear hear my way, if you won't see it my way, if you won't do it my way, if you continue to do it the way of the world, I'll leave you to the world. And he won't even bother the Holy Ghost about convicting you no more. He'll let you go on because you've already made up your mind where you're going. And it's just a matter of when you get there. But the truth of the matter is, when you turn away from God, you don't have to wait to die to go to hell. You begin to live hell right here on earth. So we have got to make sure that we are not conformed to this world. And to be conformed to this world would mean that we would be confined to this world's activities, their thinking, etc., etc. So we are supposed to be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, what's important about understanding the study tonight is understanding that your mind is constantly updating its information systems so that it can make updated thoughts or adjustments or reevaluating situations, etc., etc. How many of you thought one thing about one thing based on the information you had, and then you got new information and you changed your mind? Well, your mind automatically does that. And so when it talks about the renewing of your mind, when you start putting in more information of the word versus that's already been pre-programmed by the world, then you start changing how you think, and it starts rearranging your process of how you think about certain things because you are being renewed in your thought processes. And so as a result of that, you begin to rethink a whole lot of things, and you begin to see it the way the word says it and not just the way the world says it or see it. And then as you do that, again, you start bringing a whole lot of things into subjection and under the authority of the word. So we're talking about it's all in your mind, because here is where the devil really wants to work on you at, because if he gets it in your mind and keeps it there long enough, it's going to go to your heart. And when it's in your heart, then that's where you really begin to operate in that vein with a conviction, with a determination. And so if it's not right, that's why, again, you've got so many layers and layers of the bad programming that this world has placed in your thought processes, that the word has to go in, wash and rearrange, etc., to get you back on the right track. Because again, how many of us know better but still in some areas don't do better? It's because the word, and that's why we've got to stay in the word where our weak points are, because the word then begins to strengthen us, build us up, gives us the ability to change our direction and do things differently. So that's why it's important, again, to keep that word going and flowing, meditating upon it day and night, because it is constantly reprogramming your thinking. It's constantly going in and doing little bit by little bit, just again like an onion, just pulling one layer apart. And if you ever know anything, those of you who know anything about onions, is the outer layer starts off very, very, very thin. Thin, thin, thin. And as you get closer and closer to the core, it gets thicker. So there's a lot of thin stuff that you don't even know you're dealing with, that you so programmed that it goes on automatic pilot, that the spirit has to get through all of that before it gets to the core where it starts changing the very essence of how you think and process stuff. So anyway, we're talking about now the condition of the mind and your disposition, because the condition of your mind determines your disposition, how you feel about, how you're convicted about, what you are passionate and focused on as a result of a disposition that comes because of the conditioning of your mind. If you're conditioned to be a positive thinker, no matter what comes up, you're going to look at the glass being half full. If you are conditioned and your disposition is a negative one, no matter how good it looks, you're going to be finding for some way to that. Well, it's got to be something wrong with it somewhere. I don't see it right now, but it's going to show up sooner or later. I'm looking for it. And so your mind is programmed to find the bad in everything if that's the disposition of your mind. So it's the condition of what you are and where you are in the word and the word in you that's going to really determine how solid and strong your thinking is. How many times you thought you could handle a whole lot of stuff till you something hit your life and just blew you apart, and you're like, Jesus, I thought I could handle that. I just thought if this happened, I would be able to do this. And it's one thing to think that, it's another thing to actually process through that. And so this is one of the So Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he, the A portion of that verse. Now, one of the things about this, again, that's so important is, as he thinketh, the mind is constantly thinking, constantly reevaluating, constantly taking in new information and reprocessing even old thoughts. And so that's important to recognize, for as he thinketh, a continual process in his heart, so is he. In other words, there becomes a collaboration with your mind and your heart. And that's what continues to go in, and that mind and that thought pattern working with your heart. Because once it gets in your heart, then you literally gravitate to it and are passionate about it. But even your mind is steadily feeding either the positive or the negative, the right or the wrong, the good or the bad, to your heart. So if it's there, it's going to ultimately end up here. So that's why it says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, that's a byproduct. What's in here is a byproduct, in your heart is a byproduct of what's in your head. And you can't separate the two for long. That's why you've got to recognize you need to be careful what you let get in your head. You've got to let your content be a selective one, so that, because remember, how many of you heard the saying, you are what you eat? Well, that works spiritually. You are what you eat spiritually. You need to be careful what you let get in your head, in your mouth, spiritually. And because if you don't, you get a bad taste. You ever, that just person just put a bad taste in my mouth. You know? I mean, that's because, again, you're really dealing with spiritual things. And just like you taste something that's not good in the natural, it's the same way in the spirit. You eat the word of God, the bread of life. In the spirit realm, you build up your spirit, man. You fortify yourself with the word of God. You get a healthy diet from God's word. But if you letting stuff from television, from the radio, from magazines, from the billboards, all the rest of these things, the devil introduces thoughts, but you produce them. Listen to me well. The devil introduces thoughts. That's all he has the power to do. But from that thought becomes a seed. Now, what are you going to do with the seed? You can either make sure that you do not cultivate that seed, grow that seed, nurture that seed, or do. And if you do, then you wind up producing the seed in you until it looks like that billboard, looks like what you've seen in your mind and all of this that the enemy has introduced to you. So that's how powerful the mind is. The mind can bring to pass thoughts, whether they're good thoughts or evil thoughts, right thoughts or wrong thoughts, good thoughts or bad thoughts, spiritual thoughts or, satanic thoughts. The mind has the ability to conjure up all that's necessary to make that thing come to pass. Now, what's important about that is you can go back and see that function so much in your life. You don't have to be super spiritual. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. I mean, from a child, it's ingrained in us. David said, I was born in sin, shapen in iniquity. What is iniquity but vainness, foolishness, and nothingness? You programmed with that in you. You're programmed with that. I mean, you don't need to tell a child. You just let, if you don't correct a child. And notice again, the Bible says train up a child. But the Bible also says correct a child. And if you spare the rod, what happens? You spoil the child, because you don't have to teach the child what is inherent in him, one, through birth, and two, by what his environment presents. So if you leave a child to his own demise, he'll pick up on stuff. Little child, 2-3 years old, cursing. Where do you think they got that from? From their environment. Little child, 2-3 years old, can't say the Lord's Prayer, but can drop it like it's hot. Go, baby, go. Little girls being programmed at that young age to act like, you know, they're not godly. You know, young women are come out of a godly home with all these kind of things. And then when they grow up and then they start dressing and acting like that, you won't act like it's so foreign. Where you come from with that? They learn what they live, what they're programmed. And so as a result of that, you begin to recognize that ties in. If you think it in your heart, so will you be. Thinking, heart, they go together. So that's why it's important to recognize that the enemy wants you to continue the process of thinking. That's why he keeps bombarding you with negative information. That's why he keeps bombarding you with negative thoughts. That's why he keeps bombarding you with negativity in more forms than one, because it keeps you thinking. And as you continue to think, that's just adding more and more to a conclusive evidence of this is bad or this is wrong or this is whatever it is, but it drops in your spirit and in your heart. That's why you got to be careful of your communication. The Bible says evil communication corrupts good manners. I mean, you know, you might say, well, you know, I don't curse and do all like that, blah, blah, blah. But you stay around that long enough and it programs your thinking. It programs you. You know, well, I don't do this, but I got friends who do that. Well, you stay around them long enough, fragments of that stuff wear off on you. You pick it up in the spirit realm on a whole different level. You begin to think. That's why you got to be careful. If you're going somewhere, you need to be amongst people who are going somewhere. If you have a high mentality or mindset for accomplishing the things of God, you need to get around people who will accomplish and who do and who are successful and who are reaching and who are constantly looking to better themselves, not around people who will tear down your dreams, tear down your visions, tear down your hopes, and tear down the things that you're trying to do. Because all you have to do is be around them long enough, and when things don't work out, like, I told you that stuff don't work. I told you, you foolish enough to want to believe that. That worked for some people, but that ain't for you, really. Well, what isn't for you is being around folk who can't see where you're going. What doesn't work for you is being around folk who don't or have not accomplished and aren't considering or concerned about accomplishing things. And all through the Word, you'll see this as well. Even with Abraham, God said, now keep in mind, Abram was a heathen, but he had a heart for God. God said, before he did anything great for Abraham, or Abram at that time, you need to leave all your daddy's house and his influence and your kinfolk and your friends and all of these negative folk. Now remember, now he's 75 years old. He got a vision to go. Where you going? I don't know. Lord, poor thing, he didn't wait till he got old to get crazy. You know, so he got all this little stuff, got everything packed up, and he left on way from there. God said, you start walking. I'm going to tell you once you start on your way. See, so what I'm trying to help you understand is some things God's not going to give you revelation on while you're in a place that will destroy the revelation you receive. Because they will talk you out of it, talk it down, make you feel foolish about it, make you feel foolish about doing it. And you'll miss out on the blessings of God. So sometimes God can't give you what he wants to give you where you are. Amen. He's got to move you out of that place. But look at this again. I want you to see something else. Romans 8 and 6 says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now look at the word here. First of all, carnally minded or carnal minded, what does that mean? Somebody? It means worldly. It means to have your mindset caught up in the operatives of the world's thinking, ways, standards, etc. Now, the problem is with that is that we many times, because the world has its standards and the Word, God, has its standards, we many times will settle for the world's standards rather than God's, because God's Word requires so much more of us. Now, when we understand that, what we need to realize is we can't do God's business the way the world does business and expect God to be happy with that. Because the world's standards are beneath God's standards. So that's why you got to be careful. We are in the world, but not of the world. So that means we've got to take the Word into the world and effect change in the world and not let the world affect change in us. Because we've got to be careful not to bring worldly principles and practices in the church, but rather the church should bring the Word into the world and cause a change there. That's why the Bible says, let your light so shine, yes, before men, that they may what?
See
your good works. See them. They can't see them up in the church. We got color-coded windows. World can't look up in here and see us shouting and rejoicing and praising God and lifting up holy hands and glorifying God. We done colored our windows so they can't see us in here, Brother McFarland. We got our own little thing going on. This is club church. We just enjoyed up here, and the world can't see us out there. We're having a party for Jesus, and then locked out the world who we're supposed to be reaching. And when we leave out of here, we act just like the world is. They don't even know we done had a party. We done been celebrating Jesus and living and loving the Lord up here. Because when we get back out there, we go back to acting carnal minded. See, you got to recognize that's why 32 of the contacts that Jesus had in the world that we have in Scripture, only 10 of them were in the church. 22 of them were outside of the church. The major things that he did, 22 of them were outside. Only 10 of them were in the church. Now, what does that say to us? That the focus of the church isn't to stay in the church, but to take the church out into the world.
Yes.
I mean, when he was born, I mean, he wasn't in the inn. Couldn't have, he was outside in the stable. When he was baptized, he wasn't baptized in the church. That was outside. When he fed the 5,000 plus, he didn't do that at a banquet hall. He did that outside. When a man was there laying by the pool of Bethesda 38 years, he didn't go and tell him, take up your bed and walk with me outside. Inside, he did that outside. I mean, when the woman had the issue of blood and she was going to meet Jesus, she wasn't going to do it in church. She did that outside. I mean, when he went and called all his 12 disciples, listen at this, he didn't go call them sitting in some office building. He caught them outside. And even when he got ready to die, he did that on Calvary outside. And soon as man put his hands on him, he put him inside in a grave. He stayed there 3 days and said, I can't take it in here no more. He, on the third day, walked back outside and said, listen, when I come back again, I ain't coming in the church. I'm going to hang outside on the clouds so everybody can see me. And I'm going to call my church and those who've gone on before. So I'm just trying to help you understand the mentality of Christ and understand how he operates. And we get in here and get locked in here and start operating like the world. Cliquish. That's right. Private parties, members only. Look crazy at folk when they come up here looking for Jesus. We trying to find Jesus because we can't find him outside. All y'all in here. That's why we've got to take him on our jobs, take him in our homes, take him in our communities, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But we begin to think carnally minded or carnal minded. And so when we are carnally minded, we then act like, speak like, work like, walk like the world does it. And so that's death, the Bible says. Because what happens is it starts killing your spirit. When you become carnally minded, what you do then is start weakening your spirit man till you actually bring him to a place of death. That's why, again, God said he turned you over to a reprobate mind. When Adam was told not to eat of the fruit in the garden, in that tree in the middle of the garden, listen, Satan came back and said, listen, man, you know, I know God said if you eat of this fruit, you're going to die, but you won't surely die. Now look at what he was saying, because what Satan didn't tell Adam was that what's going to happen is when you become carnal minded, you're going to have the carnal knowledge, the worldly knowledge. Adam and Eve didn't know they were naked till they ate from that tree. It was not an ungodly thing. It was not an unnatural thing. It was the way God created them and all of that. Now you let somebody walk around here with no clothes. That's how God originally intended for them to be free and all. The body was a beautiful thing. I mean, well, you couldn't tell that by looking at some of us now, but I'm just saying it was intended to be that way. All right, but when sin entered in and carnal knowledge came in, I mean, all of that began to die, decay, etc. So look at what happened. What Satan didn't tell him was once you bite of that fruit, you die spiritually. See, when he became carnally minded, he then, when he took that bite of that fruit, he died immediately spiritually, and then it then progressed into the natural until naturally he died. So when you're carnal minded, you begin to die spiritually. I mean, your inner man, I mean, as he's separated from God, is dying because his connection, his lifeline is all with God. And so when he is no longer fed and fueled and fulfilled underneath the skin, it begins to die. And once that dies, you become desensitized, you become hard and calloused. I mean, you can't appreciate the goodness of God. I mean, the Holy Ghost don't even bother about trying to convict you no more, because you're gonna find a way to get out of whatever he's trying to tell you anyhow. You're gonna be like everybody else doing it.